Tonight's shiur in Parshas Devarim. Parshas starts out, Elu Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. The Midrash Rabbah on this pasuk brings the pasuk in Tilum, which says, Eila Asisa Ve'acharashti. These you did and I was quiet. Dimisa Heyot Eyeh Kamocha. You thought that I was like you. There's a Maisa with a Chassidish Avreich. His name was Rav Nachman Mikalish. And he was speaking to a friend of his. He was telling him, Rav Nachman was telling him, but his Rebbe was Rav Shmuel Abba Mizichlin. It was a big, big gadol who had a type of Ruach HaKodesh. He can see right through a person, know what he's thinking, know any averas the person did, etc. He was telling him about his Rebbe. So his friend said, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. What? You're telling me your Rebbe would take one look at me and know everything about me? Okay, I'll tell you what. He said, let's test it. I know I've done these certain averas, and nobody knows about it. Only knows it between me and Hashem. So fine, let's go to your Rebbe and see if your Rebbe will be able to tell me. So they went to visit the Rebbe. Again, the Rebbe is Rav Shmuel Abba Mizichlin. And when they got to the Rebbe, his friend introduced him, and the Rebbe shook his hand, Shalom Aleichem, smiled at him, whatever, and gave him a bracha, and that was it, and he left. Ha! So he said, You see, you said your Rebbe know everything about me and tell me about my averas. Nah, nothing. He didn't know anything, he didn't say anything. Your Rebbe doesn't know. So Rav Nachman said to his friend, listen, not so fast. Maybe when you leave, before you leave, he'll tell you about, your averas and things. So he said, you think? I wasn't planning on taking leave from your Rebbe. Okay, so he should have known that also. I'm gonna leave just like that soon, a few minutes, and that's that. So, the friend, planned to go take the train or whatever and leave, but he found out that they changed the schedule and he couldn't go on to the next train, and he had to wait a while. So he figured, okay, in the meantime, I'll just sit and learn the Beis Medrash. So he's sitting in the Beis Medrash, and came Mincha time. He says, oh good, I'll daven Mincha, and while I'm here. So he daven Mincha. Then right after Mincha, the Rebbe got up, and to give a little speech to the people in the Beis Medrash. So again, the friend was saying, okay, I'm here ready, might as well listen to the shmooze. So he's listening, and the Rebbe brings this midrash that we started with, right? The part of the Torah starts, Elad Varim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. And he says that Moshe is also a kinui for the Gadol Ador. Actually, there's a Rashi in Masechet Sukkah that says Moshe is a name, the Gadol Ador is called Moshe. So he says that, sometimes people come to the Rebbe, Tzaddik or whatever, and they're full of sins. And they come to the Rebbe, and they when they see that the Rebbe doesn't say anything, they think, you see, the Rebbe doesn't know. I did certain things wrong, the Rebbe can't tell, doesn't know anything. Which is not really the case, because sometimes the Rebbe doesn't want to say anything is because the person's with other people, they want to embarrass him. He'd be alone with him, he might, but he was with other people, he doesn't want to say anything. But really, he knows. But what happens? The person doesn't realize that, and he starts saying bad things about the Rebbe, like the Rebbe doesn't know, there's no real Kodesh, etc., etc., etc. And that's hinted to in this Medrash. It says, Eila Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. Right, Moshe here gave Klal Yisrael Musar. Okay, but it says who's Moshe? He says also a remez to the Gadol Ador. So along comes the Midrash and says on that pasuk that sometimes when a tzaddik he wants to give Musar, but he doesn't. Why? Because Eila Sisa Vecharashti. You did these things, Elo Sisa, but Echarashti, I'm quiet, says the tzaddik, says the Rebbe. I didn't want to say anything. Why? Because you're with other people or whatever. But what? But the Misa, Eyose Yechemocha. But you think I'm like you. You think I don't know anything, and therefore you start bad mouthing me. But that's not the case, really, says the tzaddik, says I know everything about you. I just didn't say anything because you were with other people. I don't want to embarrass you. He says that's, and he said, let me give you an example. Some of a person who can come with averas, and the Rebbe starts going through one avera after another, exactly averas of this fellow that was listening in, and he heard now the whole shot. He realized now why the Rebbe didn't say anything, because he was with his friend, and now here's the Rebbe telling over all this guy's averas publicly, signal him out, but he got the message. So he went back to his friend, Rav Nachman, and says, you know, okay, I see your Rebbe knows. He knows everything about me, he knows all my averas. And but I'm too embarrassed to go say anything to him because you know he knows that I was hosted to him. He doesn't know, and he says, "Don't worry, my Rebbe's not going to be makbid on you. You can go, and it'll be fine." So he did, and he took leave. And from then on, he had a different approach to Munas Chachamim. Pasuk says, "Meiver Hayarden Beretz Moab Hoil Moshe Beretz Torah Zos." This was at the Eiver Yarden, and Moshe explained the Torah. So Rashi says, "B'shivim lashon pir shalem." He explained them in 70 languages. He like translated the Torah into 70 languages. The question is asked: why dafka now? At this point, right? Dafka now they got the Torah, you know, 40 years ago. Now here they are in the desert, and they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe now 70 languages. Why dafka at this point? So the Yalkar Gershuni says, explains the name of Zevel Eger. He said he answers based on the first Rashi we find in the Torah. Right? The first Rashi is on Breishis. Rashi asks, he says, Lo hayat sarich laskel satorah ela mi hachodesh hazelachem shehi mitzvah rishona shehistavu ba Yisrael. Really, the Torah should have started, and the first mitzvah was given to all of Klal Yisrael, which is Kiddush HaChodesh, in Parshas Bo. Aye, so why is it that the Torah started Bereishis? My tam pasuk Bereishis. Mishum koach ma'asav yigi lamo lasis lem nachas goyim. She'im yomru umas ha'olam Yisrael listim atem. So if the goyim will come along and say, you guys are a bunch of ganavim, you Jews. She'kavashim arzo shivas ha'am goyim. You came and you conquered the seven nations and took over Eretz Yisrael. So hey, so then what? So hey, Mamrim, then he can say to them, no, kol ha'aretz shekadosh baruch hu. What are you telling? We're ganavim. We're not ganavim because who does all the land belongs to? The whole world to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who bara natan alasher yashar benav? Hashem gave it to whoever he wanted to give it to. Ritzono natan alahem. Ritzono natan alahem. Natan alanu. He wanted to give it to the seven nations to begin with. He did, but now he wanted to take it from them and give it to us. So you we're not ganavim. It's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's in the Torah. And that's why the Torah began with Bereishis. So therefore, it says the same thing over here, that until this point, there was no need to translate the Torah to other languages for the other nations. Why? No need. But now, when they began to conquer Eretz Yisrael, they took over Sichon and Og, and now they're going into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua and to take over the seven nations. So now, the Taina can come for the first time. The Goyim are saying, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean? What are you conquering us? You're Ganavim. So now Moshe had to preempt this and translate the whole Torah into 70 languages. All the nations of the world should know, Bereishis Bara Elokim, that it's Hashem created the world. He gave it to who he wanted to give it to and took it away from them, gave it to us. Everybody had to, all the goyim had to know this now, just before we went in to conquer. That's why at this point he translates. It's a nice pshat from a sefer called Shnai Mikra, from Rabbi Yisachar Rubin, that's all. And he says something very nice. He says that in the prayer, Aleinu l'shabeach, we say every day, right, three times a day. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol, we should praise Hashem, right? Then it says, l'tet gdula, we should give gdula, right? Lehu, l'yotzer bereishis. Who's yotzer bereishis? The one who created bereishis, the one who created bereishis. So he said, it's a funny lesson. Where do we find calling God, right, yotzer bereishis? They're on the created Bereishis. It's a funny lashon, but that's what he's called. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol. Fine, we find Hashem called the Adon hakol. But l'tet gdula to who? To Yotzer Bereishis, the one who created Bereishis. Funny lashon. So he says, very nice. Says, who wrote this tefillah of Aleinu l'shabeach? Yeshua. So Yeshua, he was the one, of course, that took Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the nations. So we said, okay, before you conquer the nations, you know, you have to realize that the goyim are going to call us ganavim, and therefore we have to show them, no, Bereishis bara Elokim. So it's dafka Yeshua, since he's the one that wrote this, that's why he called the Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Bereishis, because he's the one that had to have this, you know, card in his pocket of Bereshis to show the goyim and the world that look, it's the Kosh Baruch Hu's land, and he gave it to us. That's why he's the one that uses the lashon of Yotzei Bereshis. Okay. It says Pasuk Tes Zomar Lechem Beisahi Lemor Lo Uchal Levadi Seisaschem. Moshe says I can't handle the people, etc. And Agav is an interesting story with dealing with Dayan, those judging the people, which was Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's a story from Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz. He's one of the Bali Atosfas, and in his community there were two people that worked in gold, whatever. And they were partners. One of them was Yaakov Abudram, and the other one was Naftali Azaria. And they decided, they're partners in the business, in the gold business, whatever. And they decided one Erev of Rosh Hashanah that they're going to fast and ask Hashem to reveal to them how much money they're going to make this year. As we know, that Rosh Hashanah, it's Nigzer, how much money they make. So they fasted and davened that Hashem should show them. So sure enough, at night Hashem came to them. And Hashem revealed that Yaakov was going to make that year 200 zehuvim, 200 gold coins, and Naftali, the partner, 150. So they came and they told, they're all excited, that it worked, they fasted, they davened, Hashem revealed them. So they came to the Rebbe, Rebbe Chiel, and told him what happened. So he said, that's very interesting, I'd like you to do me a favor. This year, I want you to make sure you clearly write down all your income. Right, so you can see that every time you make a business deal, whatever, your profit, write down all your income. We'll see what happens. Okay. So, time went on that year, and as it happened, they got into a little bit of an argument about a certain the purchase they made or whatever, and division of profits, and Yaakov decided, he felt that it was 10 zuvim was what they were dealing with. He felt that it's coming to him, and his partner Naftali said no, etc. So they came for din tor and from also kind of from Yechiel. So he heard the thing. Says okay. He asked him, well, who's holding on to the money right now? So he said Yaakov is. So says the Rav, okay. So we have a rule: Amotzi mechavero ala maraya. Right, one holding on to the money is mook, so he's holding on. The other one has to bring a proof in order to take out. So he said to Naftali, if you believe that 10 zehuvim doesn't belong to Yaakov, you have to prove it. So he tried proving it. He couldn't come up with any proof. Couldn't find Adim, witnesses, or anything. So the Rav said to Yaakov, okay, so just swear, that it's yours, and then you can keep it. So he didn't want to swear. He said, I don't want to swear. And he said, fine, I'll move out there. He took the 10 zuvim, says, gave it to Naftali, here, fine, you can take the 10 zuvim. Take it. I don't want to swear it. You can take it. Forget it. And that was that. So what happens? The year comes to an end. And they listen to the Rebbe, and they made a cheshbon, during the year, their income. So after, making the cheshbon, they saw that Yaakov, instead of having 200 zuvim, like he saw in his dream, he had 189, 11 zuvim less. Whereas Naftali, instead of 150, had 161, 11 zuvim more. So they came to the Rebbe and told him they're fine. So the Rebbe says, you see, here it's clear. We wanted to know who was right about those 10 zuvim. It was obvious that it really did belong to Yaakov. Because he was missing this money. He was supposed to have 200. He only had 189. He was missing the 11. And Naftali had 11 more, which means it was not... He was supposed to have 150, 161. So Naftali said, Rebbe, Slicha, I'm sorry, it can't be nothing to do with it. Why? Because we're talking about 10. This was 11. The question was 10 zuvim, and it was 11 that were out over here. So can't be... So then Yaakov said, No, wait a minute. I had to pay one extra zehuv for the whole, the court fees and etc. So it really is a matter of 11, because I actually in the end had to pay this extra zehuv. So it worked out perfect. Naftali said, forget it. We don't go by dreams. I don't care. It's not true, whatever. And he just kept his 161, didn't give part with his 10, 11, and that was that. So fine, after Rosh Hashanah was over, they that you know, the end of that year. So then Yaakov went and Naftali, they both went to their stores, and Yaakov's in the store, and there's he never has such a good day. People are coming in and buying left and right, whatever. And he makes the cheshbon at the end of the day, and he sees that he made 11 zuvim that day, one day. So he brought him up to his from 189 to his 200, one day. Naftali, on the other hand, he had a terrible day. Nobody came to his store. Nobody bought anything. And he left all upset. He goes, I didn't make any money today. And as he's leaving the shuk, he accidentally, his mind was wandering somewhere, and he didn't see, and he bumped into the stand that was selling like expensive glass things. And he knocks it down, big crash, breaks all the things. The Baal HaBayis gets furious at him and starts hitting him or whatever. And the police come in. In the end, he had to, you know, pay for all the glass that he broke. So they had a appraiser come and, you know, appraise the damage. 11 zuvi. So in the end, he ended up with 150. Yaakov ended up with 200, and everything worked out. So either Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis said, "You see over here, you have tremendous hashgacha pratis, and that's it. You know, what's coming to you is coming to you exactly. You want to, you know, do what's right and give what's to whom what's coming to. If not, you're going to lose it the hard way. But everything is cheshbon now." It says in the pasuk that Moshe gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Pami, that you should multiply 1,000 times. So the Likutei Naftali says, where does this number? Why 1,000 times? I mean, 900 times, 2,000. Go where? Why 1,000? So he says, very nice. Based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara there says, Atida Isha Shetelei B'chol Yom. So now a woman have a child, takes 9 months. Says in the future, women are going to give birth every day. So based on that, he says the following cheshbon. He says, fine, so a woman, fine, she's pregnant for 9 months, okay, and then she has a child. And then, let's say she's nursing, pi chazal, nursing woman is nurses for 2 years, 24 months. Okay, so we have 9 months of pregnancy, and then another 24 months of nursing before she can have another child again. So what's 24 and 9? 33 months. So let's say on the average, let's say, is about 30 days a month. So we have 33 months times 30 is what? About 1,000. Right? So it comes out that a woman can have a child nowadays barach every 1,000 days. Okay? But in the future, what does it say? It says that a woman is going to give birth every single day. Right? So in other words, what takes now 1,000 days, they'll have to do in 1 day. So in 1,000 days in the future, there'll be 1,000 children, right? What takes now 1,000 days, they'll do in 1 day. So Mela, that's why Moshe gave the bracha. Hashem Elokei Yosef Aleichem Elef Pamim, 1,000 times. Because you'll have 1,000 times more. Now it takes 1,000 days to have one child, then you'll have 1,000 child children in 1,000 days. So therefore, it's 1,000 times the bracha. That's why Moshe said Elef Pamim. Okay. The pasuk says Lo Saguru Mipneish, pasuk Yudzayim, that it's a warning to the dayanim that the judge is not allowed to fear the party, the litigants. Right? When people come, they can't be scared. He has to tell the right what the din is and not be scared of the people, the litigants. There's a cute mice. There was once a yid, and he came to this reformed rabbi, and he wanted to give him a little shtuch, you know, give him a little mussar here. So he came up to the reform rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, I'd like to have a din Torah, you know, in front of you." So he says, "Okay, who are you taking to a din Torah in front of me?" He says, "God." "Rabbi, no, I'll take a din Torah to God in front of you. You should be the judge, you know." So the rabbi said, the reform rabbi said, "What? You're taking what? I don't understand. You're not from this town. You're from some far off town and city. So why do you have to come all the way here to me to have it make have it in Torah against God. Why don't you just have it where you go to one of the based ins in your town? What did you come here for? Why do you have to come to me? So he says, I'll tell you, it's very simple. He says, because where I come from, all the Dayanim, all the judges, they're God-fearing. They fear God, right? So here I am. I want to take God to Din Torah. So the judges, they fear God. They're scared of the one I'm taking to Din. So I can't take them to Din. Lo sogurim mipneish, right? They're not supposed to fear the litigants. And they're all God-fearing, so I want to take God to Din Torah. They're scared of God. How can I take it in front of them? He said, but you've got no fear of God at all. I said, no problem. So they're afraid. I want to take God to Din Torah in front of you. Says the Vishma Hashem is kol divrechem veiktsof. Moshe mentions here about the sin of the meraglim, and it says, and Hashem heard the kol divrechem. There's literally like the kol, the sounds of your words, and he got angry. So the question is, what's this kol divrechem? I couldn't say Hashem heard your words. Why the sound of your words? Well, what's the sound? So Rav Label Eger, Milivlin, says that sometimes the way you say things, you know, can change the whole intent. Just by the way, the nuance, how you pronounce it, how you say it, the loud, soft, or etc. It can change the whole meaning of what you're saying. Say the Maisa was once a Yid, and he was in Shul, and he got very upset at the Gabbai on Shabbos. He started screaming, cursing out the Gabbai. He says, you're an imbecile. He says, you're a fool. You're an idiot. He started screaming at the Gabbai. Publicly in front of everybody. So the rabbi was very upset at him and calls him in afterwards and he says, listen to me. He says, next week I want you to get up in front of the whole congregation again and say to everybody that what you said this Shabbos about the rabbi is not true. Tell everybody that's not true. So he says, okay, rabbi, you know, you're telling me I got to do it. I got to do it. I'll do it. Do it. Fine. So he gets up the next Shabbos. Claps on the bima in front of everybody, the Gabbai. He says, last week I said about the Gabbai that he's an imbecile, he's a fool, and he's an idiot. It's not true? Listen to the rabbi. Rabbi says, it's not true. It's not true. So, friends, you say something, it can affect it. Mele, also over here, this is what Moshe referring to with the meraglim. He says, Hashem heard the kol direchem. Meaning he didn't necessarily your words, he said the way you said your words. In other words, it's true. The meraglim, first when they came, they said it's Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvashi. Right? Eretz, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's how they started, right? But that they said, like, it's flowing with milk and honey. You know, just like kind of, you know, not so clearly. And then when they got into the next part, that the, oh, Ephes ki azaham, ayosheba are, terim, betzuros, when it came out, down the land is mighty, and this one won't be able to cut that, they said very loudly. And then when they showed the fruit, they said, oh, is there period? Yeah, and by the ways of the fruit. Yeah. So, it depends on how they said it. So, Mela, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Hashem heard the kol divrechem, how you said it. You said some nice things in there, but the nice things you kind of slurred, and the bad things you said out loud. So Hashem heard, and therefore, but so if you got angry. Pasuk says, "Rav lachem sove sahar azeh, pnu lachem safona." So Rashi says, "Imigia shato shel Esav hitzpinu yatzmakem." Here they're coming to Seir to go through the land of Esav. And they said, if things are looking good for Esav, they've got good mazel, so hitzpinu atzmechem, says the Midrash, you should hide yourself. Whatever. So we see that throughout Klal Yisrael, we're always careful about this. In Galus, you know, knowing when to say things about the Goyim, and when not to say things, and how to say it, and, you know, we have to be always careful about what we say to the Goyim, in front of the Goyim. It's a cute mice. There was once a... He's Reuben and Shimon, his friend. And Shimon was going to Russia. And this goes back at a time when it was the communist regime over there, you know, the KGB, etc. And so Reuben says to him, listen, you're going to Russia. Nobody really knows what's going on behind the Iron Curtain. You're going there, I want you to send me a letter telling me exactly what's going on over there. So Shimon said, forget it, Reuben. I can't. I'll write a letter. If let's say there's some bad things going on there, I send it. They censor every letter. They go through every letter that's been that's leaving the country. They're going to read it, and they're going to put me into jail. They say I'm writing bad things about the country, whatever. So I can't. So Reuven says, says, okay, I have an idea. Here's what we'll do. You write whatever you want, you know, but write, you know, nice things or whatever. But if you write it in a with blue ink, then I'll know that what you said is true. If you write in red ink, so then I'll know all these things that you wrote is not true. Okay, that's the plan. Then they won't know because you're going to write good things. It depends if it's in blue or red. If it's blue, it's true. Red, it's not. So Shimon says, oh, great idea, fine. So what happens, Shimon goes, he's in Russia for a while, and Reuven is actually anxiously awaiting his letter from Shimon. Sure enough, he gets the letter. He saw it was open before, but he opens it again and sees it's written in blue ink. In blue ink. He says, wow. He starts reading it, and it says, oh, this place here, Russia, is Amish Gan Eden. The people here are happy, and they're dancing in the streets, and whatever you want, you person can have over here, and tremendous shefa, and not only that, he says the prices here are really cheap of everything, and you get whatever you want for great prices, whatever. And he's like reading this, wow, and in blue ink, you know. Finally, gets to the last line. He says, you know, they have everything here. The only thing I couldn't find over here was a red pen. Okay. Yeah. Says the Parak Beis Pasuk Vav and Zayin that as we said they were going to go through Seir, the land of Esav, and they were told, Moshe told them, Ochel Tishberu Meitam, that you're going to go into Esav, but your food you're going to have to buy from them. And ve'achaltem and eat. V'gamayim tichru meitam b'kesev b'shisa. You have to pay money for water also when you drink, and you have to pay them for the water. You're going through, but you have to, you know, stealing, you know, pay for the food, pay for the water, etc. Fine. Okay, understand. And then the pasuk goes on, next pasuk. Ki Hashem elokecha beirach, Hashem gave you a bracha and all your ma'aseh dayim. Yada lechtecha, he knew your ways, es ha-midbar, ha-gadol hazeh, the midbar. Zehar b'Yerushalayim for 40 years, he was with you, you weren't lacking anything. So they ask, what's the connection between the first puzzle? He says, you have to go in and buy everything. And he tells Tatan, mentions about how Hashem gave them everything in the Midbar. Oh, what's the connection? So Rav Zalman Saratskin says the following, gives the following mashal. He says, there was once a boy, and parents gave him, spoiled him, whatever he wanted, bought him this, bought him that, and food, clothing, whatever he needed, whatever he wanted, always gave. So, but never did they ever hear a thank you. Never a thank you. So I want to, you know, teach the son a lesson a little bit. So what did the mother do? The boy comes home one day and says, I'm going on a teal, going on a trip. And I need, 100 shekels for the trip. So this time the mother says, no, you know, I'm not going to give you 100 shekels. You're going to work for it. I'm going to call the grocery store and tell them to give you a job delivering, making deliveries. Yeah, okay, you want 100 shekels, you have to work for it. So, kid had no choice, and he went to the vegetable store, whatever, and he gave him a schlep, vegetables, upstairs, downstairs, this person happened, whatever. And after, whatever, a couple of days, he got himself his 100 shekels, you know, including tips, whatever. Anyway, so he came home and he's all exhausted or whatever, and his mother says, no, so where are you holding? She says, yeah, you know, I got myself 100 shekels. So the mother says, oh, great, wonderful, now you can go on the teal. You have your 100 shekels. She says, what? Well, you think I'm going to take this hard-earned money and use it on a teal? So too, he says, call Israel, right? Hashem, 40 years in the Midbar, gave them the man, gave them the be'er, he washed their clothes and on the kavod, and he gave them everything. Didn't hear a thank you. So now, Kosh Baruch said, okay, fine. Now you're going to see. You're going to go into Esav Seir now, and you're going to pay your food for a change, and you're going to have to buy your drinks for a change. And let's see, millions of people buying food for millions of people for a couple of weeks or whatever it is. Let's see. Now you're going to feel what it's like. And therefore, that's the connection. First, it says you have to buy and the food and the drink. And then it says the next pasuk, Hashem Elchecha, he gave you all kinds of good in the desert for 40 years. In other words, he's telling you, you know, you never thanked him. So now you're going to buy, and then you'll see what, and then you'll realize all the good. When you don't have one, you have to pay for it, then you realize that all the good that Hashem gave. Okay. So one last mashal, the end of the shir, and we suffered the loss of the Gaon Posek Ador of Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, Zichet Tzadik Kaddish Livracha, and at the Levaya I heard a mashal which I had heard before, and bring out one at a certain point. And what is that? That person, how old was Rabbi Yosef? 102 years old. And people could say, you know, okay, so why is everybody so upset? You know, Lamaisa, it's not like a young man, you know, died in his young years. 102, what is he going to live forever? A person doesn't live forever. So, okay, what are you so upset about? He was 102. Okay, well, what do you expect? He wanted to live to 200. You know, he has to die eventually. So, Rav Nachum say the following mashal. So there was a group of people that were walking through the forest. This group, and they're going through the forest, and they got a little bit late, and before they knew it, they weren't yet out of the forest, still in the middle of the forest, and it was already getting dark. So luckily they had some three lanterns with them. And so they give them some light. So they lit the lanterns. And which helped them, you know, continue. So one of the lanterns goes out, and finished the oil, finished. So they had another two lanterns. So they had another two lanterns, going further, further, further. Next lantern goes out, no more oil. They're down to the last lantern. So they're going, 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 and then the last lantern goes out. That's it. They're in the pitch dark, in the middle of the forest, no way out. So they started crying. So one of them says, well, I don't understand. Why are you guys crying? You think the oil was going to last forever? Oil doesn't last forever. Of course it was going to go out. Well, what are you crying about? He said, what do you mean, why are we crying? He says, we're crying because we thought we'd be out of the forest before that the oil would run out. You know, the same thing here. Right? We said, wow, what are you crying about? He's 102 years old. He says, yeah, what are we crying? Because we thought we'd be out of Galus. Before we'd have to lose the God Lador, who protects us. We thought it'd be out of here. We thought it'd be out of the skulls. So it's a shame we weren't out before passing a real Yashav. That's all. Maybe we'll be out before the coming of Tisha B'Av next week, and we can celebrate it with the Bashiach, Tzidkenu, Yimei HaYameinu, Amen.